Welcome to season 13 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I am stoked to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, we're back to Catherine to share what's been inspiring her, and I'm really looking forward to hearing all about it.
Hooray! I'm looking forward to sharing. First, though, last week we shared the conversation and discussed the book How to Begin by Michael Bungay Stanier. And while we didn't necessarily name a now what next step, I know I'm still thinking about our conversation and the process.
Oh, and me too. And that was such a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know I've just continued to think about it as well. And for me, I think it was really helpful and probably timely to bring those categories of thought back to the forefront of my mind, especially as I consider some upcoming projects and building out some ideas both for the summer as well as already next fall. So I think it's good to have that vocabulary and just the thinking behind creating goals that are worthy, and particularly to align myself to things that are thrilling, important, and daunting. And you also reminded me that these kind of connect to a core value of mine, authenticity, and I think also supports that contentment piece that I've mentioned a few times here as well. So good connections and good thinking to further support the projects that I am building out.
I love those ideas and just that reminder of those words, thrilling, important, and daunting, to keep focused and keep going with the reflections. My one takeaway is that one of my worthy goals, and this is the short version, is to develop a framework for PD providers. And having this goal in place really helps me focus on finding ways to support and supplement that work. I'm creating small sessions that are aligned to this goal. Mm-hmm. I'm curating resources that can support that work. The nonfiction books that I've moved to the tops of my TBR list also relate to the goal. So having this narrow focus that I know is worthy, I've taken such great care in developing this, helps me make choices about what I consume and what I create.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Man, I'm so glad we talked about this last week. I think it was so fun to bring this to the podcast audience at large, but I think good reminders and takeaways for us as well.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into this week's conversation, Laura, do you have a quick win of inspiration for us today?
As a matter of fact, I do. So this quick win isn't necessarily new, but our colleague and friend Juliana recently reminded me that this is a thing, and so I'm excited about it all over again. So, inspired by a blog post from, you guessed it, Tony Vincent.
Shout out.
Shout out. Back in 2017, actually, my quick win today is printing custom sticky notes with Google Slides. Now, I am a digital lady through and through, but lately, in the spirit of balance, choice, and others' preferences, I'm trying to incorporate more paper options in my face-to-face sessions. Enter this idea for customized sticky notes. So basically, Tony has created a template to utilize in Google Slides that allows you to create and then print your own sticky notes. He's also designed several pre-made templates that you can use. It's super easy. You print a template of blank squares, and then you place actual sticky notes on those squares and then run that paper through the printer to print your content. And I've now used this a couple of times in the past week or so as part of a closing reflection activity so that people can remember their top takeaways and then stick them somewhere as a reminder. And it's gone really well. It's a little time consuming because you can only print 6 at a time. But depending on the size of your group, I think it's an idea worth pursuing.
First of all, that was Tony's very first assignment in our classy graphics class.
And oh, so, nice.
Yeah, so I love doing that. And it's good that Juliana brought that back to us as a reminder. And more importantly, I was visiting with a friend this past week who was in our session where you use the sticky notes, and I saw her sticky note on her computer as intended. So,
okay, I love that.
She kept it, it's in view. So she's thinking about those reflection questions you asked.
Perfect. Hooray. All right, Catherine, let's do this. I'm ready to hear about what you've got for us this week. And as you know, we're using our reflective protocol to guide our conversation. So I'll be asking you to consider the what, so what, and now what of your share.
I'm ready.
Let's start with the what. Tell us what is inspiring you to learn this week.
Today, I'm sharing ideas from the book Tranquility by Tuesday by Laura Vanderkam. The subtitle of the book is 9 Ways to Calm the Chaos and Make Time for What Matters. And it's more of a wellness book rather than a time management book. So it's really on theme with several of our episodes this season. And I'm really looking forward to sharing these ideas. And side note, since the author's name is also Laura, I thought that could be confusing. So I'll refer to her by her last name, Vanderkam.
Oh, perfect. I was already thinking I'm going to be extra attentive and perked up when I hear the name Laura over and over. So good thinking. You already had me at calm chaos. What an excellent phrase. I'm ready to hear more. So in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist and tell us about Tranquility by Tuesday.
All right. In the book, Vanderkam shares ways you could change how you spend any average Tuesday, thus the title, Tranquility by Tuesday. She knows any average day can include play and purpose, and her work invites us to be a good steward of life's possibilities. You know you're never going to have more than 168 hours per week, so we need to be intentional with the hours we have. The results are that you can design a more joyful life by spending time on doing things that matter. So this book is divided into 3 parts, and each has several chapters for a total of 9 guidelines. And so here are the breakdowns. Part 1 is Calm the Chaos, where Vanderkam shares foundational habits that support well-being. Part 2, Make Good Things Happen, which includes habits for doing more of what matters. Part 3, Waste Less Time, and about developing habits for creating more time. There we go.
Wow. I love that you ended your time on the word time. So I guess you read this book and you have wasted less time. I should read it for a number of reasons. I am so excited. I don't know which part I'm excited to hear the most about. My curiosity and interest truly peaked. So let's go deeper. Tell us more to answer so what about Tranquility by Tuesday that's inspiring you to learn.
Mrs. Vanderkam has several podcasts, and the one I listen to is called Before Breakfast. And the purpose of the podcast is to share ways to make the most of your time, both at work and at home. So I was already familiar with many of her practices and ideas about time and productivity, and many of her favorite rules appear in this book. Our friend Erica was the one who first started sharing details about the book, and today's a terrific crossover because Erica and I are collaborating on a session this summer called Playful and Tranquil, and so there's a little sneak peek of my now what for the end of the episode.
Nice.
For this book, she recruited a large community to help with the project, which started in 2020. To gather research, her participants kept time logs, and the author sent prompts and reflection questions and did before and after surveys. So many of the stories in the book also include the realities of the world from the past few years. And I appreciate that authenticity and the importance of relearning how to find ways to spend time on doing things that matter. Finally, I've been really blah myself, and some of the ideas and examples were very motivating and caused me to sit up and reread passages and take notes. So that's really my so what and why I was inspired to share the work. And then side note, Laura Vanderkam is also a real life friend of Gretchen Rubin. Hmm. And in her book, Vanderkam cleverly addresses the four tendencies, which is the subject of another one of our episodes last season. And Vanderkam mentions, if you're not into rules or rebels, call her 9 steps, guidelines, or experiments. Mm. Or she says, read the book with a friend and check in with each other to reflect. And that's for us obligers. So I love seeing that hidden tendencies in there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I got to say, I'm more intrigued by experiments than I am steps. So she knows what she's talking about.
Yep.
I'm so intrigued by this idea of time logs, and I love the authenticity, like you mentioned, of being just reality aware of how the last few years have been, and really am kind of hanging on to this thing of relearning how to find ways to spend time, especially doing things that matter. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to hear more about these 9 steps or experiments and guidelines. So do you want to just start with the first section? And again, that very first phrase that jumped out to me, calm the chaos.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, the book has 3 overall sections, and each chapter breaks down the guideline, provides anecdotes from her life and the participants' stories, and then there are tangible steps and resources. For each chapter, she also gives a bonus strategy, provides reflection questions and implementation ideas. Now, Laura, there's not room in the book to write your responses, but the questions were terrific.
Okay, fair enough. I'm really into writing into books right now.
So the 3 guidelines in part 1 are her foundational habits, and she suggests you go in order. So to calm the chaos, she suggests 1, give yourself a bedtime, 2, plan on Fridays, and 3, move by 3 p.m. So I'll make a couple of comments here. For the plan on Fridays rule, she invites you each week to find ways to include something for yourself, for relationships, and career. And focus on these 3 categories and think about what would make you feel like you had a wonderful week. And so I've added those categories to my weekly planner.
It kind of reminds me of that teach happier piece of how do you want to feel at bedtime? So exactly. I like this common theme of planning ahead, thinking explicitly about how you want to feel and what you want to have accomplished at the end. So, I like that connection and I like the idea.
Well, also the whole idea in her book, and I'll repeat this, is think in terms of weeks at a time rather than day by day. So that's important. Now, the move by 3 p.m. guideline was really eye-opening. She says, just find 10 minutes to move within the first half of the day. Now, we all know movement is a good rule, and it helps with the ebb and flow of our energy levels. But here's where I really had to stop and pause. She said the rule is more than the movement. If you can have the strategic mindset about finding 10-minute blocks of time, then what else can you engineer? I love this quote, and I actually thought of you and the compassionate coaching work, Laura. She says, committing to this rule provides daily evidence of the autonomy you have over your life. And over time, this daily evidence can change a narrative of being overwhelmed. So I needed to read that. And I thought that quote was so empowering.
Highlighting it and adding it to a presentation in the background as we speak. So yes.
Yeah.
So by 3 p.m., you just need to find 10 minutes to move. Is that the takeaway? Okay.
And it can even be 5-minute sections. It doesn't have to be a full workout. And so it is just, again, it's more about like, where can you find 10-minute chunks of time in the day? So
of course.
Love that.
Interesting. Okay. Good thinking. And again, truly good quote. So I'm good with section 1. What about section 2? Tell us about make good things happen.
Part two has four guidelines, and this section is all about developing habits that make time more meaningful. She comments earlier in the book that you wonder how you lost those 45 minutes, but then you realize you were looking through photos of a high school classmate's dog on social media, and then you were clicking ads for stylish pajamas.
I love me some stylish pajamas, though.
Yeah. So Vanderkam's work differs from the time management tips, and it's not all about how you load your dishwasher or how to type K instead of okay. She suggests we approach time from the opposite direction and fill your life with things that matter to you. And then you'll figure out how to make time for these things that bring more play, fun, connection, and purpose. So her ideas for forming habits for more time for what matters are: three times a week is a habit, create a backup slot, one big adventure and one little adventure each week, and take one night for you.
Okay.
Let me share a few insights that really resonated with me, and then you'll also see how these ideas build on the previous three guidelines.
Yeah, sure.
For the idea, three times a week is a habit, Vanderkam refers back to the guideline of planning on Fridays and thinking about your time in terms of weeks rather than day to day, like I said earlier. And she suggests you stop looking for the single most perfect time to do something every single day. Instead, find chunks of time here and there and consider it a habit when you do that thing three times a week. The examples in the book were things like reading to the kids, preparing home-cooked meals, crafting, and working out. And then that's where the move before 3 p.m. guideline and mindset returns, that empowering reminder of finding chunks of time comes into play. One participant in her research had a goal of reading to his kids, but he struggled because his work obligations kept him from always getting home before their bedtime. But then he discovered he could also read to them on Saturday morning at breakfast or Sunday afternoon. It didn't have to be before bed. The purpose was just reading to the kids, and he could find three times that week, and so not just at bedtime. So that became his habit. And then one other connection, a participant in the book was so happy because this three times a week is a habit rule granted her permission to now claim her identity as a gardener or yogi or baker. And then that calls back to our episode about magic words and the importance of activating identity.
Of course, of course. Wow. Okay. So one of the first things I thought about was a connection to, you know, the thing where you have a jar and you have rocks and pebbles and sand.
Oh, yes.
And if you try to fit it all in a particular order, it's not going to fit. But if you start with the big rocks before you fill in the sand and the pebbles, you'll have time to make it all fit in. But also you ensure that you have time for those things that are meaningful or playful or fun or really aligned to your purpose. And so I was thinking about that in conjunction with, okay, if you can do it three times a week, then it becomes a habit. So, okay, interesting. Are you going to talk to us any more about one big adventure and one little adventure? Because I got to know more.
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's talk about that. Vanderkam writes that when we settle into the monotony of our daily lives, moments and memories escape us. But you remember novel experiences, and those create positive intensity and help expand time. So planning for one big adventure and one little adventure each week can change the experience of time and can create an ongoing sense of hope.
Okay, I gotta already interrupt and think about this. So, okay, this is what has really stood out to me. this phrase that you said, when we settle into the monotony of our daily lives, moments and memories escape us.
Yep.
That is powerful. And that is true. I'm thinking about how weird time was during COVID and particularly those lockdown times. And it's because we had nothing but the monotony of our daily lives. And so that completely tracks. And then I think once you've been at a job for a while or have gotten into a groove of life, that is really true that the moments and memories can escape us. Okay. I just had to take a moment and soak that in.
It's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Continue. So sorry.
Okay. No. So little adventures are just an hour or so, and big adventures might be half a day or even more. Mm-hmm. So activities may not be out of the ordinary, but planning and reframing them as adventures makes them feel more fulfilling. So some adventure ideas could be taking a walk on a new route or having a meal somewhere else, like on the patio or in a different room, trying a new food or listening to an online lecture or putting a puzzle together or tweaking something that you already do just to boost the novelty or playfulness factor.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So the other part of the book that is really resonating with me is overcoming my inertia, because it's so much easier to stay home for me.
Ooh, true. Okay, tell me more.
So Vanderkam's hack is to picture yourself on the other side. So for instance, when I had an author event at a museum downtown, I was thinking, oh, I really want to back out. It's been a hard day at work. It's a pain to battle the traffic and the parking, deciding on where to eat. Instead, I can choose to think about what's on the other side of that evening. I know I love any author talk. I enjoy spending time with a friend attending with me. We'll get to try a new restaurant. So that will be worth it. And that is a midweek big adventure.
Oh, I really like that thinking. And that really resonates with me as well. Because I love staying home. Remember those fancy pajamas that I bought after scrolling for 45 minutes? I just want to stay home and wear them. So I like this idea of picturing the other side. And lately I've gotten really hung up on the parking and the traffic and the struggle, which is not really a struggle, but just kind of the annoyance of doing something in an unfamiliar place. But it's definitely worth it. And this is something that I needed to hear.
Well, and just reframing it as an adventure. Just saying, okay, here's this week's adventure. I'm going to an author talk, or I'm going to try this new restaurant or whatever. It's like, an adventure sounds fun, doesn't it?
It really does. Okay, so I think there's one section left. I'm ready to hear about it as well. I think it's waste less time.
Okay, so Vanderkam's definition of wasted time is time spent on things we don't really care about. So when you spend time mindlessly, then time tends to circle down the drain.
Ooh, I like that phrase too.
Yes. We need to instead spend our leisure time in more meaningful, enjoyable ways. In this section, her ideas are about forming habits to create more restorative space. And her final two strategies are to batch the little things and effortful before effortless. And I have just a few comments about these. I think batching your work is a fairly common strategy, and Vanderkam reminds us that, yes, it is a good feeling to get some of those to-dos checked off list, but are those little things chopping up our days, and are they actually bringing meaning to our lives? So that's why this batching is important. The idea is to keep big chunks of time for doing the big things, whether it's for yourself or your relationship or your career. And then the last section is effortful before effortless. Now, Vanderkam is talking about leisure time, and she often uses the phrase effortful fun. But go back to episode one of this season, because I have a strong definition of fun.
True.
But basically, she's talking about how can you spend less time in front of screens, which is effortless, and instead first spend time doing something more meaningful, which is most likely going to take more effort. Vanderkam shares the phrase time confetti, which is quite delightful. And that means the little pockets of time in the day that appear usually at random, like waiting to start a Zoom meeting, waiting for a friend to join you for coffee, downtime at home at the end of the day. What typically happens? Well, for me, I scroll social media, which does not make my life more meaningful.
True.
So that's where if you start with something effortful, that leisure time can feel more expansive and memorable. So she says even limited amounts of time can create memories, and they can also produce a sense of progress, like finishing a book or knitting a scarf or something else that leads to positive emotions and happiness. One participant in her book talked about reaching for his book and Kindle app rather than social media. And I can totally go along with that idea.
I love this idea of time confetti and those little bonus moments that appear. And I think I'm really going to think about that because, yeah, if you have just a handful of moments, just kind of seeing what's going on your phone, I think is a typical and easy thing to do. But being aware of them, and I think I will remember them because I love the words time confetti, I think will help me think about this in a different way. Now I do not know how to knit a scarf, but I always love those people who are waiting for a session to start or like waiting for their drink at Starbucks and they're just casually knitting.
Yes.
I'll have to think of what my version of knitting a scarf is, but yeah, I like this thinking for sure. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I first am so happy that this conversation brings in so many ideas from past episodes and the work that's important to us. I mean, we talked about the connections to a playful life and magic words, compassionate coaching. You brought up teach happier, and then worthy goals really kind of fits in with making things more meaningful. I threw out the four tendencies. I didn't mention burnout, but I bet these guidelines could also help with that feeling of overwhelm as well.
For sure.
So I love that we've been able to incorporate so many ideas to promote wellness this past year.
Me too. I love that each season we kind of land on a theme or find these connections without explicitly planning it ahead of time. So shout out wellness for season 13, I suppose.
That's right, right. So one participant in her book research said after trying these steps, they were encouraged to be more intentional about building in time for joy and restoration. And I think joy and restoration sound like a good vibe for me.
Absolutely.
So I'm feeling inspired to use these strategies or guidelines or experiments to make the most of my time. And I hope this information inspired you too, Laura.
Well, it absolutely did. And I am curious to know what your next steps are going to be. Already, I want to adopt that language of adventures for the week. So maybe ask me about my upcoming adventures each week and just lots to think about, lots of mindset shifts and several excellent phrases. So I am all about that.
Yay.
Well, as you know, we love to launch further thinking and challenge each other to apply what we share as we consider now what. So now what? What are some next steps from here to incorporate ideas from Tranquility by Tuesday into your work or further your learning?
As I already mentioned, our friend Erica and I are working on a summer session that uses the ideas from The Playful Life and Tranquility by Tuesday. We won't have that finished by our next recording, but it's in the works. So,
I'm excited about this. So please keep us posted.
Yeah, TBD. But for a few tangible now what's, I'm first going to get consistent with planning on Friday And I know that's a really good use of my time at the end of the week when I don't want to start anything new and I don't have the energy. So that will be an easy thing to do. And I also want to work on the one big and one little adventure each week. So like you mentioned, we can be accountability partners.
Let's go. Let's do it.
And bonus, I want to see how I can add playful elements into these experiences. I also want to come up with a list of effortful things to do. So in addition to reading, I hope I will be ready to scroll less and do a more effortful thing first. So I'll come back next time with that list.
Well, excellent now what's. And sorry for jumping the gun and kind of taking one of your now what's with the adventures. But I'm happy to share it with you because I love that. And so, yeah, lots of great takeaways, good thinking, and some now what things. I'll be excited to hear how those are going in the next couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what ideas have you heard today that sparked your interest and inspired further learning about Tranquility by Tuesday?
You may also find us on Twitter at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Reflect to consider the what, so what, and now what of your thinking. Share your learning inspirations and ideas from this episode and beyond.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.